This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Really, really excited to be on with you guys. If I'm being transparent, I'm laughing hysterically inside my own body right now of the thought of mainstream A-list celebrity. I think that's ludicrous, but I get it. I appreciate it. The social thing is wild. Just happy to be with you guys. Is it fucking freezing in there? I mean, that coat and hat, like, you guys look, are you guys okay?
That's Jerry's makeup.
Yeah, it's my Got makeup it. Every day.
Just like, how you go, Jer?
Yeah, you know, I bought back the retro North Face a couple months ago, and I just wear it every day.
It looks cool as shit, but you look like you're freezing your balls.
Let me take
off.
The hat. Maybe the hat's confusing.
Yeah. Okay, now I feel better. Yeah, I feel way better. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No, thanks for answering emails.
Yeah.
So we're obviously football guys. Jerry's a diehard Steeler fan. I'm a Giant fan. I know your goal has been always to buy the Jets, right?
Yes.
But, and everybody can
and
tell.
And I'm a real diehard. Like,
that's
1982 to right now, 2022, right? I've watched every snap of every game in real time. No DVR bullshit. In real time. Obviously, I haven't been to every game, but... you want to talk about October 31st, 1993, Jets, Giants, Halloween? I'll talk to you about it at nausea. You want to talk about all the devastating losses at
That's
Pittsburgh?
That's exactly
playoffs?
My question.
You know, like, I'm like, when I buy the Jets and the fans are getting pissed at me or whatever the Twitter is of the day, I'm going to make videos and fucking punk people because they don't know half the shit I know about the Jets.
So what were the three worst losses you've ever seen in existence? Because there's a fuck ton. I'll be honest, my dad was a Jets fan, and we went against the grain as Giants fans, but
he made you Giant fans because he didn't want to.
He knew. It was like every time in the car home. The two games I went to in person, first ones, Dennis Byrd got paralyzed and the Marino fake spike.
Yeah.
So he was like, you're done. Yeah. So what were the worst ones you've ever seen?
The Dennis Byrd thing, you know, hurts. You know, I think about that a lot. I shaved his number in the back of my head in high school. Like, I was very affected by that. You know, I was in, like, high school. It was very weird, like, paralyzed. It was scary shit. That one does sit, and it was funny you brought it up. I didn't think you know, that's one that a lot of people don't remember. That was, like, emotional. But, like, in fandom land, I would say, God, there's so many. I would say, bar none, the 86 playoff game against the Browns, I cried for a month.
Heard about that.
We were up 24-14 with 4 minutes and 24 seconds left and had the ball and lost. So that really hurt.
They thought they got off the field and he got a rushing the passer, right? Or unnecessary roughness?
It was on second. It's been rewritten in history that it was third or fourth down. It was on second. It was earlier in the drive. But like, I'm getting a little confused. The bottom line was Mark Gastineau roughing the passer destroyed us. The first devastating loss was losing to the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game in 82, 14-0. A.J. Dewey, a linebacker, had three fucking interceptions, or two interceptions. That was devastating. A lot of these are young, as you can tell, later you start building like a cold heart. The Steelers lost with Doug Bryan missed two field goals within the minute when Ben threw the pick and set us up Ben played terrible. He was a rookie, but like, you know, we really had that game. We won that game, but we lost that game. That hurts to give a Steelers reference.
Gary, how long have you been trying to buy the Jets and what's stopping you? Is it the money? What is it?
Since fifth grade, which was the year I realized that I couldn't play for the Jets, so I pivoted. I have such good hand-eye coordination that in second, first, third grade, I was confused. I was like the best athlete because I was just, my hand-eye coordination, like even now, like I remember in college, my buddies are like, you play darts? I'm like, no, I don't fucking play darts. They're like, come and hang out, play darts. I'm like, okay, and then fucking destroyed their face. Like I've really all the hand-eye shit, I'm dominant. Fifth grade is when speed, size, athleticism, agility started to become a factor. So I was like, God damn it, I can't do this. So what's stopping me now is the money. The fact that I don't have it yet.
Yeah.
The Johnson family isn't selling. That's it.
What's a price? What's a price on that team, you think?
I think by the time, I think if I buy the Jets, it happens in 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, who the fuck knows? I mean, I think if the Jets went up for sale today, you're looking at $7 billion.
Are you changing that stadium? Because MetLife's a shithole.
I would probably move it. If I buy the Jets, it's a weird thing. I'm a Jersey boy, right? I hate the Giants, like hate them. Like it's insane, I despise the Giants. So the thought of sharing a stadium with them, especially when everyone that's old still calls it Giant Stadium. Yeah. I'm like glad you called it MetLife. I'm like, ooh, okay. But when I immigrated from Russia, we lived in Queens when I first got here. And I'd be lying if I didn't say that I've thought about the concept of moving the Jets back to Queens if I buy them. So I'm not sure. Like again, 20 years from now, my life's gonna be different. The world's gonna be different. Who the fuck knows what's, I might put them on the fucking moon. You know, like, but yes, I think given how old the stadium will be, when I roughly feel that I'll be in striking distance, I do think I'll have an option to do some shit.
With your like business stuff, right? Obviously, you know, you do the TikTok videos and you're obviously very successful and going all the way back to the wine library, yep. Right? Like how you kind of started it blew yep. up. But in general, what percentage do you equate to like people being lucky as well as like you have to be good? So like do you think that there's definitely right place, right time with a lot of things? Like you look at Dave with Barstool, right? Like he had to be good because he's talented, sure. Determined, like yep. fighting bums to hand yep. out newspapers. But by the same token, 20-year run of Tom Brady, mix in the Red Sox, the Celtics, yep. that kind of plateau him. So like
my intuition is that Portnoy's energy, he would have done something else and we'd be talking about him being lucky that coffee was cool or that like sledding got hot, you know, like.
Got it.
Here's where I'm at. So luck, yes. Of course, I was born in the Soviet Union. And I got lucky that I was able to leave during that era where my grandfathers both went to jail for fucking a decade for being Jewish in Russia and like for being entrepreneurs, and here I'm a fucking hero. So yes, here's the problem. If you're watching this show and you use luck as a weapon, you fucking lost. If you sit around and say, Dave's lucky, Sarah's lucky, Ricky's lucky, you two three fuckers are lucky. If you use luck as a weapon, you're fucked. Because you're using it as a medicine to make yourself feel better that you're not winning. And that's a very tough mindset. I don't envy that. I actually have a lot of compassion for it. I'm not razzing, I'm empathetic. I think we should talk about it. Because when you're using luck, everyone's luck. Any fucking person that's born in America, you're fucking lucky. Like, there's 850 million people on Earth that don't have access to clean water. Like, I love when people are like in America drinking a $6 coffee on their $1,000 iPhone, tweeting, you're lucky. You're fucking lucky.
That's a good point, Gary.
Oh, I have a lot of good points, my man.
You know, I had this question, and I was thinking about it on the train here. I know you're big into the NFT game. Yeah. I'm big into the sports cards.
Me too. I was bidding fucking crazy on that Kobe Bryant Sports Illustrated.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, I wanted that fucker. I was the runner-up to that shit. I'm pissed.
What would you say to let's say a 13-year-old kid? Yeah. Would you say for that kid to
both?
Both, you would both. Say?
Yeah. This is what's so funny about the world. Everyone's obsessed with or, when the answer is always and.
Gotcha.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, the card guys are like, fuck the NFT, like NFT people are like, yo, real world is dead. The real world's staying forever. But the digital world's very real. Let's not get confused. And they both coexist and like people give a shit about having a fucking blue check mark on Instagram and people care about fucking getting a fat ass fucking North Face to rock. Like we're in a both world.
That was weird you brought that up because I just got both. I just got the North Face and I just got the check mark on Instagram.
I love it. Listen, I do my homework coming on these fucking shows.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of videos of you at like yard sales and
yes.
just kind of searching vintage stuff. And you talked about Kobe Bryant. Like, chances are but when no one thought cards were big 15, 20 years ago, you could have saved that. What is, I guess, like in your adult life, but more so as a kid, what is like the GOAT toy or card or like jacket or fashion thing you wish you saved? Because obviously now you have the money, you can go buy it now, but it's not the same as like, hey, I saved like an untouched pair of Jordan 1s from 85 because I had the foresight. Mm-hmm. Or like Ninja Turtle, you know what I mean? Like what was some stuff you wish you saved being like, hey, I held on to that forever as a kid?
That's a great fucking question. I bought most of it in the 90s at garage sales. But what it was my LJN rubber wrestling figures from the 80s. Specifically Macho Man, King Kong Bundy, Kamala. So That was like my, like that 1990 Frank Thomas Leaf rookie card. That's another GOAT for me. My Al Toon starting lineup is a GOAT for me. And probably Soundwave, the Transformer, and Boba Fett, the original Star Wars figure. Those are probably my GOATs.
Why Frank Thomas?
I was a humongous baseball card dealer when I was a kid. Like on some fucking whiz kid shit. Like making $2,000 selling baseball cards a weekend when I was like 14. I was, you know, like back to like not being in fifth grade, having to pivot, like back to luck. I believe I was, my parents had sex at the right second and made me a naturally great entrepreneur. What the fuck did I do? Yeah. Right? Like I'm just really good at it. And so I was really good at sports cards, and my prime was 1990, 91, 92. And Frank Thomas 90 Leaf was like the fucking it card, even more than the Griffey rookie that a lot of people talk about. Like when I was in it, that was like the fucking $70 rookie that was just like, it was just the card.
Okay, interesting.
What's the best card you got right now, Gary? Sports card.
I have some serious shit now. I've spent some real money. I mean, I have some very high grade George Mikan 1948 Bowman rookies that are six figure cards. Bill Russell rookie. I have some basketball stuff that's very, very, very valuable.
What's your take on a PSA? You know, they're starting to charge people this insane amount of money to grade these cards, and I feel like it's really unfair.
You know, I'm a little out of the loop because I've been so in a coma of NFTs for the last 14 months. But I thought, correct me if I'm wrong. So when I got re-serious in 17, 18, obviously it was not very expensive. Then the whole hobby blew up. And then there was all the shortage and the backlog, and I thought it got very, very, very expensive. Yeah. Am I incorrect that it's come down from that craziness? And are you saying it did come down, but it's still expensive?
It did come down, but I remember when it used to cost, you know, $20 to grade a card. And now if you have, let's say, a LeBron James rookie card, they go off the value of what that card is and charge you their price. So I think it's really unfair what they're doing.
Yeah, the good news is the free market will adjust. So to your point, if SGC, if ISA, like then you'll get startups. I mean, first of all, let there be no confusion. We are going to have computerized grading, AI grading. Somebody's building a fucking fax machine, scanner, like some sort of piece of technology that is 100% gonna change our industry. It makes too much sense. The AI technology will be able to do all the things that a human can't catch with their, I don't give a fuck who the best grader in the world is at PSA. Yeah. They're not beating a fucking robot.
It's true.
So I think one of the things I think a lot about, because I put real fucking paper into cards, is when I have to regrade it in 15 years for the, and it could be PSA, it could be somebody else. Mm-hmm. I hope my 10 stays a 10, and it's, you know, like some shit's gonna go down.
That's a good point.
Do you have to, I mean, this is kind of a crazy question, and you probably have spoke against it before, but like, I guess work balance, or like, do you agree you have to be on all the time? Or like, do you watch a movie every once in a while? You watch a fucking program? Like, do you break it up where you're like, I just need a, what?
Oh yeah. Right. I mean, listen, my point is when I'm on the field, I'm going hard. So I sleep 8 hours a day. I mean, like people, like, you know, my energy fucks people up. And when I'm working, I'm fucking actually working. Like I'm not sitting around finding some funny video on YouTube and then on a text thread with my college buddies for an hour and a half about it and then taking an hour lunch and like all the shit that my employees and other people do, you know, like, which I'm empathetic to when I say my employees, I love it. Like, do your thing. Like, you're not trying to own VaynerMedia. I don't need you. I hate when fucking bosses are like, they should work like me. I'm like, yeah, then give them the same amount of money, dick. Like, I hate that
makes
shit.
Sense. Yeah.
So for me, I mean, not only do I completely tune out for every sporting event, right? Like, when the Jets do their little 24/7 on YouTube, right? Jets, like, I watch that shit. Like, I love documentaries, especially sports like, sports is a great outlet for me. My family's a great outlet, like a good dinner with like the fam, like love that shit the most. I mean, my communication style, I'm a high energy dude. Back to DNA, like I love when I like put out content, people are like cocaine, Adderall, and all my real friends who know me laugh because they know I haven't even smoked a cigarette, let alone all that shit. And so I just have a lot of natural gratitude, excitement, optimism, fire, ambition, hope. I just have that.
You think you can get talking to like your college buddies, like staying in touch with people who are just like the average Joe? Do you think you can get perspective of them, or like a situation you're having trouble in business or you're trying to figure something out and their like idea or their like input in it? You think you could get like perspective from people not connected like that or on the outside that can help you become a better person or a better boss?
That's a great question. I actually easily do. I think it's audacious and ludicrous for somebody who has had professional success think that like somebody that like my brain works a little bit different. I don't think success is defined by your bank account. You know how many miserable millionaires I know? Like, to me, I'm looking to be happy. And like, I have unlimited knowledge of people making less than 100K, making less than 50K that are happy. Like, I have buddies that I grew up with that are like pumped making 80K a year. Nice salary. It's a nice salary. I hate when people are like 80K. Like, the world's fucked up. Like 80K, like if you don't, now, if you live within your means, but like, by the way, 80K comes with a lot less pressure. Do you understand what my life is? I wake up, I go right to my phone. Offices in Singapore, offices in fucking, you know, in Mexico City. I have 20 employees that are Ukrainian and Russian. Do you understand what I'm dealing with today?
Wow, yeah.
Like when you, like Diddy and Biggie, that whole more money, more problems, that's real shit, bro.
Yeah.
Like, no, like yeah. I don't envy being like, I'm actually upset that I'm an alpha one. I'd rather be a number four.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a fucking firefighter. When I have to fill out the fucking, you know, immigration forms when I go into other countries and they're like occupation, I literally write firefighter. Because when you're at the top of a fucking big company, when you're out there the way I am, where everyone's gonna have opinions and feelings on you, you're just fucking taking punches all day.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. Like, you walk into a dinner and your buddy Joe, who like is a policeman or a fucking like union, like, and you're like, you come in, you're all pissed off. You're obviously happy to see him, but you're like, he's like, what's the matter? You're like, well, fucking, I'm having a problem with Jerry. Like, he's not communicating with the sales team. This. And then he's like, oh, well, I believe in that shit. Like,
I'm a little, the answer is yes, comma, for full transparency. I'm a cocoon guy. What I mean by that is when my shit's fucked up, I don't burden anybody else. I go to the lab. I stay in my fucking head and I figure that shit out.
But by the same token, do you think that's contradictory to what you just said? Like, if you just gave him little pieces of info, Jerry might be like,
I don't
hey,
think it's
well,
contradictory because I think the answer is yes. And many times, even though I'm a cocoon, some shit slips out. Sometimes you don't ask people and they tell you. I'm picking up signals all the time. Look, there's a tremendous advantage I have. I came from the dirt. When you live in a studio apartment with seven family members in Queens and have no fucking money, you're from the dirt.
Right.
And so I was happy in my childhood and we had dick. So when you know that money isn't happiness because your childhood was built on you're happy as fuck, but you got nothing, well then you're fucking set. Even the scenario you said, I don't really give a fuck. I don't get upset that much at business. It's not that important. Parents being ill scares the shit out of me. Friend being hurt scares the fuck out of me. Somebody being sick that I love scares the shit out of me. Dies, forget it, travesty. I have a friend that I grew up with right now, hospice. It's fucking me up every hour. Losing $1 million, even when I had nothing, losing money, fuck money. I'll take it. I'm trying to buy the Jets. I understand the contradiction. I'm playing my game, but I feel like an athlete. Like, I'm on the court. An entrepreneur, I'm on the fucking court. I'm trying to drop 60 on your ass. But it's still a fucking game.
No, it's a good perspective. Yeah, no.
It's why everything's easy for me.
Right.
Like, I want to win. I want to be honestly, on the record, on the fucking MJT, I want to be the greatest entrepreneur of all time. I want, when everyone's wrapping it up and drinking beers at the retirement home at 90 and getting to entrepreneur talk in our age group watching this, I want them to be like Vaynerchuk. But it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't think I'm better than anybody because I'm good at business. Who gives a fuck?